This is a continuation of the March 2nd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. And then I believe, do we want to go ahead and read all of these properties in at once, Dan? Is that all right?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so we have seven properties we'll be reviewing today. The first is case number 661 for property ID 235394000. The second is case number 662 for property ID 235436000. The third is case number 663 for property ID 235437000. The next is case number 664 for property ID 235438000. Case number 665 for property ID 235439000. Case number 666 for property ID 235440000. And the last one is case number 667 for property ID 235441000. The properties are all owned by Michael L. Aiken. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have both Kelly Aiken and Michael Aiken present over the phone for the appellant. So whoever would like to, I know we can't see you, but go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony given this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I
do. Thank you.
That was me, Kelly.
Are you going to speak, Mike?
I don't need to. I'm getting old. He might chime in if I did something.
Okay. I know he can't keep his mouth shut anyway.
Oh, your memory's really good. That's too bad.
I hope you know that.
I've got another birthday in a couple days, so...
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has the same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you fully explain your appeal.
Thank you. So... We've been arguing with the assessor's office back and forth. Started back in 2013, and we have a letter from the assessor's office that says that these properties going forward will be valued as contiguous. And he is not valuing them as contiguous anymore. So he's not honoring the agreement, which March 7th, 2013, from the county. And that was a letter sent basically settling the state board of appeal that we had, just previously. And I've got all of that information, in the packet that I sent. So what we'd like is we would like to have the assessor honor that agreement of going forward that these are valued as contiguous. And what I've done is I've sent a summary of large acreage parcels and their per acre value. I sent this about a month and a half ago to be added to the file. And this shows properties that are really close to Mike and Kathy's property. I mean, literally, one of them is touching their property, the Overbee property, if you've got that spreadsheet in front of you. And these are the values per acre. And I put the assessed value of 2020 and the assessed value of 2021 on there just so you can see that the the values in 2021 actually went down a little bit per acre. But these are all very similar parcels. They're either zoned R5 or R10. I think the only one that's zoned R10 is the Forterra BG, the first one I listed up there at 96 acres. The rest are all in the R5 zone, which is the same as the 7 tax lots that Mike and Kathy have. And we would like those to be in line with these values. I know that you guys need to take the comparable values of sales. So I did find a few of those. That would be page 3 of the valuation determination worksheet. And I've got comparable 1, comparable 2, comparable 3. And as you can see that they are they're quite a bit less per acre than what we're getting assessed at for our 7 5 acre lots that are supposed to be valued as contiguous because of the letter that the county wrote us back in 2013. So that's what we're requesting, is that they come up with a value that's similar to the properties that I've added on this spreadsheet of the summary of large acreage parcels that are all really nearby. I mean, I would say probably the farthest one away is 2 miles if the crow flies from Mike and Kathy's property. That's all I got.
Okay. So you valued it based on the assessed values, which we're not permitted to use.
Well, I was just showing those to you guys as an example, or seven examples of what other acreage parcels are valued at in the same vicinity, in the same zone.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but I just wanted to make sure you understood that.
I did. So that's why we've added some comparables on page 3, the property sales analysis.
Well, if I do my calculations right, the examples of the sales you've got, first one sold for $12,500 an acre, and the next one was $27,000 an acre, and the next one is almost $29,000 an acre.
The comparable 3 has a house on it.
So how do you separate that?
I don't know. I didn't actually put down what the value of the home was. Guess we could look that up.
So the other two don't have a home on it, just that one.
Correct.
Well, that one actually has 2 parcel numbers.
Well, it was I was going by the sale price of the property sale.
Yeah.
I can't figure out which piece was sold for what amount.
These are still in trees, is that right? These property, your properties?
Yeah, that is correct, yep. That's what's called the ESL.
These are the ones up on the hill above the house. Is that what it is?
They're north. Yeah, they're north of their house.
And they still don't have access. There's no road access to them still.
No, and that's why these other properties, the comparables, are actually served properties. They're right next to a road. These seven parcels are not adjacent to services. They're not served.
All the properties down there, the main road, they are all sold now. Is that correct or not?
The cluster lots down below, yes, they're sold. And that cluster was performed on that area because they were served by utilities, because they're on Allworth. We don't have the ability to serve these lots in the back, the seven lots, without significant work. Not just construction. Yeah, but it would actually take full development in, you know, environmental impact. We've talked about that before, but I mean it's high environmental issues there. Specifically Rock Creek.
Are these all exactly 5 acres?
One of them is 6.25. The rest are all fives.
Why is it valued less? Is it in a canyon or something?
I don't know. You have to ask people that for that.
Well, it's funny because they're all, I mean, it's $70,000 less in value.
Yeah, we're really not sure.
Well, there's nothing adverse about that particular lot.
I mean, I guess it's just got the lake on part of it. I mean, maybe that's what they were taking into account. I'm not sure. May not be considered as less. But ultimately, we'd like the assessor to honor the previous agreement that we had, that moving forward, these would all be assessed as a contiguous parcel.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I've been on this for several years.
Yep.
So I remember the property.
I just don't know if there's anyone else new on your board, so I'm just trying to cover all the bases, you know.
Did you ever find out why that wasn't honored in 2013?
It was honored for a few years, and then a few years back, I think in 2019 or 2020, he just decided not to honor it anymore. Hmm. He didn't give us an explanation, really.
I think part of it may have been the fact that it included all the parcels at that one time, even those down next to the highway, I believe.
The assessor always treated the 2 5-acre lots along Allworth as developable lots, so. Even back in 2013, those had a higher assessment on them.
Okay. But the rest of them were, and some of those have been sold off, have they not? I can't remember how many lots there were to begin with.
Well, that's the cluster there. So there's a remainder lot now to the south of the pond.
Tell me just a little bit about the three sales you have.
One of them was an 80-acre parcel just by the fire station just north of Battleground Lake. Pretty similar property. It does butt up against 259th Street. That property was sold and then actually split into lots now. They did some type of, I'm not quite sure the planning procedure they did, but they turned that 80 acres into 5 10s and a 130-acre parcel.
They were all contiguous also, right?
It looks like they're under a 6-year moratorium, so they must have done some kind of a boundary line adjustment or something. Maybe with the Forest Practices Act or something, maybe. The other piece is just to the south of Battleground Lake, and it was sold back in 2018, and it was split up into a cluster subdivision as well with the remainder lot. And That one's on Palmer Road, just south of Battleground Lake, so it was fully served as well. And then I'm trying to look up 225456, but I can't seem to find it on the GIS. The third parcel.
That was
a piece over by Daybreak, just north of Daybreak Park.
Mm-hmm.
As you go up the road, I think that's called, Daybreak Road. It goes up the hill, turns into Northeast 82nd Avenue. So that piece was two parcels. It was a parcel with a fairly nice house on it. The house was sitting on 5 or something close to that, and then there was like a 36-acre remainder lot or an extra lot that they turned, and they did a cluster on that one as well. That one sold for $1.2 million, but if you take the house out, you know, not knowing exactly what they paid for the house and what they paid for the dirt, I couldn't really come up with that information. But it probably puts it in line or less than the comparable one or comparable two on a per acre value. Yeah.
How far are you from these two properties that are on Battleground Lake?
Battleground Lake is just west. So as the crow flies, I'd say a mile or at the most, probably a mile.
Yeah. So you're in a battleground zip code, right?
Correct, yep.
Okay, I think I have it again. Lisa, Vic, do you have any more?
No, I'm okay.
Yeah, I don't have any questions.
Okay.
We got it. You'll hear from us within a month.
This is Mike for just a minute. One of the things that the assessor has always said was that our parcels, we segged them for zoning purposes because the county was going to take away the zoning. So we did those segs to protect the zoning, some development right. And the county has always taken the position that those lots were developable. But if you look at the wetland maps, the stream corridor, Rock Creek is actually the North Fork of Salmon Creek. It's got a huge buffer on it. And in one of the assessor's office emails, he said that we could put a bridge across that creek to serve the north lots for $25,000. And it would take hundreds of thousands of dollars to build a bridge across Salmon Creek. And with the wetlands, at least 200-foot buffer, those properties are not developable. And so, you know, we're Aiken Development. We are developers, so we know that. That's why I've always taken the position, and this property has been in my wife and I's ownership for over 50 years. And it was in my wife's family for the 100 years before that. And it has never been considered a developable property. So to not make an adjustment of some kind to the wetlands, the creek, the bridge requirements, getting utilities, the fire department regulations for turnarounds and cul-de-sacs and H-20 rated bridges. He made no adjustments for that at all. He just figured these tax lots as individual buildable parcels, and we've not been able to convince them any differently. And if you were to get an expert opinion on this, you would call Aiken Development to get it. So we're just missed.
Well, I think just to jump on that and make a conclusion out of that is that these other three comparables, they were and are developable. And as you can see, they all got developed somehow. And that was because they were adjacent to a road and the road had services. So,
yeah, I mean, you're just saying the development costs are substantially less on that property than they would be on yours, even if you could develop them and get enough carved out of each 5-acre parcel to get a building pad on it. That still the development cost would be substantial.
Yep, correct.
And I would suggest for future that you put that package together and then put it together at one time, and then you can submit it each year, and you could index it or somehow update it each year to make sure that it's at a current cost method so that you can argue this case much more strongly than just kind of incomparable properties and say there's a difference in the development cost. And hopefully you can do that fairly easy because you're in the business of development, so you should be able to put something together like that each and every year so that you have a much stronger case.
Right, that's definitely good advice. And what I really thought is that I really fall back on this letter that the county wrote, the assessor wrote to us, that they would be valued as a contiguous parcel, not as five.
Right. So it would be, I mean, basically valued similar to the 80 acres or the 37 acres in total, but with some other caveats that it has development contingencies on it that even reduces it further. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You need to build that case
right.
And then submit it every year as that you've gone through that exercise, and maybe, yes, it's gone up in value a little bit based on just overall property values in the interim, but it still has that same restrictions on it.
Right. Well, and I think one of the reasons that we don't do that is because we never want to put down in writing, I guess, that the property is undevelopable or not developable. It's more of a mental thing that we have.
I understand it. No, I understand you're in a catch-22 there. It just makes the case stronger that it's impractical to develop, maybe not undevelopable, but it's certainly impractical, but you could certainly bring the cost down in comparison to other properties if you do that. Even if it's still considered a developable area, it's going to be less in value because of the development cost.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know if the assessor is required to, but I shouldn't the assessor's office be making those adjustments as well?
Dream on.
Okay. Understood.
This is Mike again. Just to close the record, if you like, but when we find a piece of property that we're trying to develop, if it has a stream on it, wetlands on it, buffers on it, we make adjustments. And for the assessor not to do that, when they have at their disposal wetland inventory maps, streams and buffer maps, classifications of creeks, they should be making some adjustments for property. If you overlay a wetland inventory map on some of the developable property that we're looking at, it could be 60-70% wetland inventory, which is a black hole that makes that property undevelopable. And for these appraisers at the county to not take that into consideration when it's right there at their disposal, all they need to do is click a button on that computer and they know that those sites have got 200-foot buffers and aren't developable. So, anyway, thank you. I hope you close the records in 90 seconds.
I hear you. And I understand that, and they don't always do that, and that's why technically we're only supposed to look at what you present to us as evidence of what the values are. And in order for you to demonstrate that, you have to provide us with those charts and those maps and those conditions so that we can understand the fact that there is a restriction there, and we can refute what the county's value is. That's the way that you would, that's why I say you need to go through that process and do it one time and then continue to present that with some kind of indexing to increase the value. But otherwise, it becomes a much harder message for you. And for them to have done that, sometimes they may and sometimes they may not. And, you know, if in fact that you can demonstrate a much lower value and they decide to take it to the state, then they're going to have to do that to prove the case otherwise.
Yep. Well, if we have to come back next year, I guess we'll add some info on that.
And obviously, you know, you want to make it to your advantage to the restrictions that are there, you know, want to point them all out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we have enough information.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the hearing. Appreciate it.
All right.
Next time we can meet in person and we'll buy less.
See you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good to close it?
Close the hearing.
This is the March 2nd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves case number 653 for property ID 379-18102. The property is owned by Brent Michael Bradshaw and Tina A. Bradshaw. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Brent Bradshaw present over a video chat for the appellant. And so we'll go ahead and have you raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury.
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind that the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So I will let you further explain your appeal, but I have one question first. Why, if you know, did they sell you the property for $1.5 million when it was appraised for $2 million?
Well, I think part of the testimony that went in or evidence that went in was a letter from Michael Lynch on behalf of the estate outlining sort of the five previous years of sort of ownership and trying to sell this property. And I think what was evident, and this is what was told to me, not only through our realtor, but also through Michael, was that the assessed value actually impacted them negatively in the sense that they thought that was the market price, and they ended up putting the house up at that valuation, and no one was interested at that price point. And so they had the house on and off the market several times, and never got any so-called bites for that property. So it just sat, and they ultimately used it as a location for various charitable events and so forth. So we did have a valuation done on it, and that did come in around the $2 million mark. But at the end of the day, I mean, that was not what market value still was, given the location. I think this house is very beautiful. It's clearly, we love it. But it's in a location that just doesn't justify the price. And if you look at sort of the neighboring homes here and what the typical assessed value is, I think it's around $550,000. And for sure, the materials that were used in this property are expensive, but they would never be replaced this way. So the value that my wife and I felt this home was $1.5 million. That was the offer that we made. And I guess at the time, it was satisfactory to Michael and the estate. I don't know their ramifications for ultimately accepting it and why, but they were satisfied with the price.
And so did you have a realtor when you wound up buying it from him? Because when I read the letter, there was a point where he said there was no broker involved. And I wondered if they'd finally given up with a realtor, and then it was kind of a... just between the two parties that you sold it or bought.
So we did have a realtor that was assisting us to find a location. We ended up giving up for a while because of the market and the way it was. And then ultimately, we did a private transaction without a realtor between the estate and my wife and I.
Okay.
And they had no realtor also?
They did not. They've had multiple, as I understand, realtors over the last 5 years trying to sell this property and market it, but they did not at the time that we purchased it.
Yeah, it looks like they put it on the market originally at $3.6 million, almost $3.7 million.
Yes, that's my understanding from looking at various websites on it.
Well, I've been in your home. It's a beautiful home.
We love it. We have three kids, and it's funny though. For a house that was built like this, it actually only had two bedrooms.
I know. I was surprised to read that.
It was built really for the Lynches, and it obviously worked for Mr. Lynch and Mrs. Lynch, the two of them. But for a family, for us now, we're having to do little things, obviously, to have our kids be able to live here. So we're having to convert rooms into actual bedrooms now and so forth. So
I don't have any other questions. That was the only question that I had, or the only questions that I had.
I don't have any other questions.
Yes,
other than one, did they develop some more homes just south of this dwelling?
There, now, just south of the dwelling, there's an empty lot that has not been developed. I'm not aware of any other developments going on at this point around us.
And north of you, is the field still in Ben Franklin Elementary?
That's the field. South of us, there has been no development that I'm aware of.
And the field's still there on that?
It is. It's an empty field.
And that's where the proposed park was supposed to be?
That's my understanding. And nothing from what I've seen has happened.
Okay. And Our Lady of Lourdes Grammar School is across the street.
Yeah. It is. And that's also, for us, I mean, what we think is another impact to the valuation is having the church right across. Not that we don't like the church, obviously, there, but it is an impact to the valuation. We were told that was one of the things that Michael felt impacted the price of the home.
Okay. I think it's well explained. I don't have any questions anymore.
No.
That was my only question obviously you have a purchase price and you have a fee appraisal and there's a gap there and just wanted to understand what that gap is and why it was there. And I assumed that was the case because it had been around for a while. I just need to understand that. Okay, I understand it now. You did get the letter from the assessor, I presume?
I have a letter dated June 3rd, 2021, which is listing the assessed value at the $2.945 million.
And you don't have a subsequent... They have a letter that we have a copy of that dated October 6th of 21, lowering the value from 2.945 to 2 million, which is, as they indicated, is the appraisal price. But I assume at that point they had your appeal and the appraisal and purchase price was all disclosed, so I assume they had all the information.
Hey, Mr. Weaver, I never received that subsequent notice of value.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that we need to bridge at this point is why the $2 million appraisal value would be the right answer or whether the purchase price would be the right answer. That's something we'll discuss after you get off the phone.
And I guess just one other point. I mean, I have gone through, obviously, insuring the home with my insurer, and that was one of the big discussions that we had was, you know, I still feel as though the appraised value is higher than what we would want the home insured at. So we ended up at 195 for the insured value of the home too. So, and that was, takes into account obviously replacement value, but also the movement of materials should there be destruction and so forth too. So just as a point to add.
Yeah, I know my insurance company makes me insure at a much higher value than I think it is.
Yes.
Because if there's a total destruction, you have to clean up the lot and redo it and get it ready to build another property.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your time and listening. Yeah.
To the appeal.
All
right. Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Close here.
This is a continuation of the March 2nd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves case number 657 for property ID 851-46000. The property is owned by Lon Combs. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Lon Combs present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness and to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. So
So, as I outlined in my memo, we've talked about this property before. I bought it a few years ago. I'm struggling to build it.
Which property is this now?
It's the 1541 Northwest Drake Street. It's where I actually live now.
And is that out on that corner where the boulders are?
No, no.
No, this is I remember this property, and the county made you reduce the size of the property, and then you had to do all this special.
Yeah, retaining walls and drainage and all that stuff, yeah.
And the pictures that you enclosed of the rooms that are just framed in, is that the unfinished portion of the house?
Correct.
Okay. Because the only thing you listed on here were door landings and then the deck and outside.
Yeah, I separated into two parts in the memo, first being what they required for me to get occupancy. That's what the door landing, back deck, retaining wall, all those driveways and all that.
And you've done all that?
I've done it, but I didn't do it, and I didn't get occupancy until fall of last year, so after the assessment came.
Fall 21, okay.
Yeah. And so let me correct myself. I've done most of that. I haven't completed the deck, but the city gave me occupancy in fall of 2021.
Okay. And then the house, you still have, are you saying about how much left to do to complete the inside?
About 47%. So go ahead.
How many dollars is that?
So I calculated that in this next thing. It's a reduction of about $300,000. Yeah. What we did is the house is kind of in three sections, and we built out the center section. The two side sections are not completed. And that's what the pictures are. It's a couple bedrooms, bathroom, and an indoor court, actually, on the other side.
What was the $300,000 you just mentioned?
That's the unfinished portion of the house.
Okay. That seems like a lot for two bedrooms and two bathrooms.
It's about 2,000 square feet, 2,400 square feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Explain to me the difference between the use restriction and the occupancy rate.
So what's restricted by the non-completion of the house and what's restricted by the slopes, and I split it out according to land and house. So with the house, the assessor came in $180,897. I reduced $35,000 of that because of the slopes, and $26,000 of that because of the occupancy, what they required me to do before I could occupy the house.
And those were the retaining walls and everything like that?
Yeah, right.
And how did you come up with the $35,000 on slopes?
I just calculated a percentage of how much they took away because of the slopes.
What do you mean they took away? Meaning you couldn't build on it?
Yes. They've put it into a restricted land area where no construction can be done. And I compared that to the house that's next door to me. They have the same kind of square footage as I have, but they don't have the slopes restrictions that I have. That was a new requirement on me.
Okay, and then the 306 is the amount to complete it?
To complete the house, yes.
And the occupancy regs on the house was what?
So, again, above things they required on the house for me to occupy that needed to be completed, that's that portion of $45,000. So if you look at the total of $71,000, the portion that ties directly to the house is $45,338.57.
And you've got total 120 for the land and 40, so that's what you say the value should be?
Right. once you minus out what the occupancy regulations were and the restrictions on the land and on completion of the house, that's how I came up with that.
So the 35 you're going to contend is a permanent restriction.
Right. That won't go away. The occupancy will go away, and of course, when and if I complete that house, that will go away.
Have you discussed this at all with the assessor's office?
Yeah, I actually reached out to them, and their reply was, the last 2 years when I reach out to them, their reply is, we really don't have time to mess with this stuff, deal with the BOE. So, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I don't have any more questions.
I have enough information the way you explained it.
Do you have a view? Now that I said I don't have any more questions, do you have, is it a view property?
Yes, we do have a view.
View of the river or?
View of Mount Hood, kind of between the trees and a partial of the river.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the benefits of building on a slope.
I don't know, when you kept talking about slopes, I thought, I wonder if there's a view involved here.
Yeah. So I'm on the back side of Prune Hill underneath the water tower
okay.
on Drake Street. So, yeah.
Did anyone from the assessor's office come out and review it for percentage of completion?
They just viewed from the last year, they just did drive-by, from what I could tell. The year before, they actually came in and walked it with me.
And you have a certificate of occupancy now because...
I do.
Because it's completed enough that you can
right.
live.
Right, in the fall, yeah. And we're living in the house right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You're saying it's over a third incomplete?
Right. We just built out the center. It's a strange house, but we just built out the center section of the house. So we'd have a bedroom, kitchen, my office.
Well, at least you didn't have to live in the garage like some people do.
I've done that before, but this time around, the last time I built out the garage first and the house second, and I got in trouble. So this time,
I don't know if you're married or not, but I
my wife made sure the house was done first, and now we're working on the rest of the house.
And if you say, if we finish the rest of the house, again, be like, we're going to finish it. Maybe not this month, but
luckily, we got the house framed up before cost went crazy. But
now, yeah, I know.
Finish out, I keep getting bids and they just go nowhere but up.
Well, so plus, they have to try to get materials and everything else. I mean,
oh, and you could have torn it apart and made a fortune on the pieces.
Exactly. Hindsight's always great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I have enough information.
I'm fine.
All right. Thank you for your help. Appreciate your time today.
See you next year.
Okay. See you next year. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the March 2nd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves case number 656 for property ID 407-00000. The property is owned by Oscar R. Saudry, trustee. The property is at the mailing address that we have on file is 203 East Reserve Street. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I'll hand it over to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions? No questions. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the March 2nd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 660 for property ID 124-817-172. The property is owned by Carol Shang Taylor and Paul N. Taylor. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Carol Taylor present over video chat for the appellant. If we could have you raise your right hand, we'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
I know you've heard this before, but I'm going to repeat. We're independent from the assessor. We're at the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, so do we have a, can you upload my slides on your computer?
We have them printed here.
We have a printer here. Okay, then. Okay, so first the issues. You can look, you know, on left column, and I copy the Clark County assessed value into it. And essentially, they estimated, they said, you know, assessed value is 665,500, something around that. And on right column, and I have a previous history. So for each year, this house every year needed to appeal. Okay, so that's the data. And let's go to second page. And the second page is essentially I show those data in graph, so easier for you to see. The blue line is assessed value, and the red line is BOE or Washington BTE, you know, agreed value. Okay, so the last one for January 2021, this 580K is I propose. And the following, I would like to present why I propose 580K for the value as of January 2021. Okay, so third page, fourth page, and essentially this is the subject home, and currently I'm in. Okay, and the compare home number one is the one, and I currently. To me, is you know, comparable because this house is as nice as my house. Okay, and so number two is another house, and I feel, you know, it's comparable, and just by look at picture, you know, inside the condition is similar. And then let's go for page seven, and the true market value for two sold home essentially is a table provided by BOE. And so I have a two house comparable right there. And essentially the lot size and the square footage of the building is similar, very close. And the year built and the compare one is a two year newer than my house and the compare two. So, but it's close enough. And also because you request us to list the construction quality grade. So I put on there and got it. And so essentially based on this data, and I average those two comparable and get to 580K as a proposed. And later on we'll show you the average. So this is the same before I send you, just to have one more column. So property owner proposed the price, and on the previous table was don't have that prop. Property owner proposed the price, value. And so this is the historical data. And I show you that this is the same chart on page nine, same chart as before, just before I show you what it look like. Now you look at the picture, look at the data comparison in table, and this is what it is. Okay. And go to page 10, that's the last page. And the last page, essentially, I put compare one and compare two, average. So the blue that became 2006, because one is 2005, one is 2007. And the lot size, all three houses has a same lot size. And the house square foot is compare one, compare two, average. That's the, that's the square footage. And the average together, and it was compared with the subject home. And I feel, you know, the data is very close. The differences is, you know, could be ignored because the comparable average was built 2006, my home 2005. There are little discrepancy for the garage square foot and the house square foot, but I think it could be called comparable. I believe based on sold price, home data, and the picture. And the two sold home all cleaned, repaired, and repainted. You know, you put on the market, the house is so nice. For my home, I have not remodeled in the past 16 years. I previously presented a quote to you, but you never consider is in order to get my home cleaned and repaired and able to presentable on the market, and it makes a minimum of 30K to 50K in order to put my house on the market. So I was thinking, you know, it would be fair, you know, let's agree on 580K is a property value for the subject home as of January last year. And so for your consideration.
I don't have any questions. You covered it?
I don't have any questions.
Okay, that's great. You know, I'm looking forward to your decision.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Close the hearing.